probably was the direction, kind of a heartbeat for this year. Celebrating with our best for God. Now, I want to just camp on that for a minute, that idea, because it's a simple idea. But if we are living this out, and if we are thinking about this, it can make a huge world of difference about the way that we live our lives. Now, the first thing I just want to think about is this idea of celebrating and just celebrating, because I know when we normally use the word celebrate here, that means party, and that's part of it. But I grew up in a tradition that said we're going to celebrate Mass today, you know, and the celebration doesn't necessarily mean a party so much as it means an activity that you do. It's the idea that you're walking through, you're doing something publicly, you're doing something on the outside. You're not just keeping it on the inside, but you're doing something. You're doing something. So it's like I'm going to live my best for God. We're celebrating with our best. Sometimes that's a party. Sometimes that is enjoying and shouting and having a time. But celebrating sometimes can be a solemn thing. It means that we're doing something, though. We're doing something out. And I suppose that when, if I can just use Eric here for a moment, that when he uses his tools on a boat, he's celebrating his best for God. When he, at the end of the day, when that owner comes to get that boat, and you know you've done a good job and you did your best to do that, going, that's celebrating with your best for God. And that's the kind of thing that I want to get across. No matter what we do, and in all of life, I want to be able to celebrate with our best for God. For me, I'm making up a word here, God word. And I like that. Living God word. It's the idea of that old Puritan saying, living for an audience of one. Living Godward. Wherever you are and whatever you're doing, living Godward. I think I'm making that up. It just was in my head, and I mean, it was there, and so maybe God inspired me. Maybe I'm speaking in tongues with that. But I think that you get the point. Living Godward. And I have a scripture that goes along with that. And it's Colossians 3:22. So I'd like you to turn there. This is probably the only scripture I'm going to have you look at today. The rest I'll probably read to you. But if you can remember this passage of scripture, let this be your theme passage of scripture around celebrating with your best for God. This would be the passage of scripture. Colossians 3:22. Strange place to begin, the word slaves. But if he's speaking this to those who were the lowest in society, I guess how much more now to us? Listen to what he says. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service, as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Now, if we stop just for a moment, you know, I've had a week of reading through Scripture with you. I was privileged to read from the Old Testament some of the servant stories. I was privileged to read the story of Daniel in our Through the Bible in a Year program that we're involved in right now that we've been reading. We read the story of Joseph. And his involvement. I'm going to tell you that Joseph, if he had an attitude and had just done what was asked of him, and when nobody was looking, just went on and did whatever he wanted to do, however he wanted to do it, he would have never become the vice regent of Egypt. And the story of Daniel and the way that he served and related to Nebuchadnezzar in that book of Daniel that many of you read this week, or that got a chance to read again this week. But there are many examples of this in Scripture. But Daniel, who was brought as a servant and, you know, as a slave to Nebuchadnezzar, had to learn the ways of the Chaldeans. And I'm telling you that Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, would have never gotten to the place that they were in the Babylonian Empire, to have an impact on that empire, had they had a different attitude than the one which we're reading about here. If it makes more sense to you, then have this read instead of slaves. If that's a stumbling block to you, then read it as employee. Think about it in terms of the place that you work. Employees. In all things, obey those who are your master, those who are over you. Not with merely external service, as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Now he caps it off. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord, rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. The key to living Godward is really, it's that. It's knowing that wherever you are and whatever you're doing, you are living before God. Not like he's sitting up there going, you know, judging you or anything like that, but just think about it. I mean, I'm behaving this way as unto the Lord. I mean, he's the audience that I'm living for. And the temptation to forget that is, no matter where you are, no matter what role you have, even pastors have this temptation. Sometimes people, you feel like they don't show enough gratitude for what you do. After all, I go out of my way. You know, I do all this stuff, or I spend all these hours, and nobody notices, and that whole thing. You know, I mean, everybody has that temptation. No matter where you are, no matter what you do, everybody has that temptation. But to live Godward says, I don't care if anybody notices, because I'm living my life for God. I'm living my life toward God. It is the Lord Christ whom I serve. That's how the early church conquered the world, by the way. Those first century Christians, if you wanted to know where what their attitude was that brought about the transformation in the world, that was it. They lived Godward. If you're a student and you're in school and you're writing a paper, you're not just trying to get by, you're writing a paper for God. If you're washing dishes as a dishwasher, you're not working to just get by and get things accomplished. You're not even working for a paycheck. You're working for the Lord. Wherever you are and whatever you do, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. And so therefore, if we can catch that attitude, then we can do that. This is a possibility for us. That we can dedicate ourselves to celebrate with our best for God if we live Godward every day. And you're going to get a whole lot of encouragement to that. You're going to hear a world that talks about personal rights, that talks about all those issues, you know. I mean, you know, don't let them walk over you and all of that. But on the bottom line is, who are you serving? And at the end of the day, it's Christ. Now, if you've never written anything like this down, you need to write it down right now. I shortened it a little bit for this, for the slide, but we cannot control every circumstance that comes our way. But we can choose how to respond to it. You can't control every circumstance that comes your way. I was there in the hospital two afternoons ago to pray with Richard. Probably was three afternoons ago to pray with Richard, and Debbie was there. She was convinced he was going to come home. You can't control everything that happens to you. Listen, if you don't understand the message of the angel planted in the Garden of Eden with the flaming sword that went in every direction, here's one perspective on it. It was God saying to you, don't think you can ever get back to this place on your own. That I've put a boundary here, and that life will always throw you some curve. You won't be able to control everything that happens. I've set a boundary between you and the Garden of Eden, shall we say. You get it? And that means that that life's going to be filled with imperfections. It's going to be filled with struggles. It's going to be filled with things that aren't like the Garden of Eden. You can't control everything that happens to you. But you can control how you respond to it. I try to live that out in all the circumstances that I'm in. And one of the crazy places that I think that I live it out pretty well in my life is with bowling. You can't always control the circumstances that are in front of you there. And or a bad throw, or this or that. You can't always control that stuff. But you can control the attitude that you have when you walk away from that. And I've watched it. I've watched it among some of the people that are athletic there. That, I mean, you know, when things aren't going their way, they go down in the dumps, and everything they do go down in the dumps. But the people that say, well, that was just one bad throw, and I'm coming back again, and I'm coming back and again, and they live in the moment, and they continue to do that. I mean, you know, you don't give up. We're seeing that right now in the football championships right now. I mean, those are crazy things to think that they have anything to say to us about life. But they do have something to say to us about life, because the attitudes and the things that are being lived out on those fields are really attitudes and stuff that we need to learn how to live through in our own lives. You can't control everything that comes into your life. You can't control every circumstance. We want to. We want to get back to the Garden of Eden. But we can control how we choose to respond to them. So live Godward. Live Godward. For me, this brings about sort of a strange thought here. It's always kind of been a mystery. I've been, you know, a Bible scholar, if you want to call me that, for many years. I mean, that's where my life exists, is understanding the Scripture and sharing the Scripture. And one of the great mysteries of Scripture for me was the story of Cain. When I first began reading the Bible, I always thought, well, that never seemed fair. I mean, God had regard for Abel, but He never had regard for Cain. And one of my first questions as a young student of Scripture, you know, was, well, why? What was that about? Why did God have regard for Abel? It didn't seem so unfair, not for Cain. And the Bible scholars that I was committed to would say, well, Cain should have offered a blood sacrifice instead. He offered the fruit. That was the first attempt at giving an answer to me. And that seemed to satisfy me for a while, but I never understood the interaction that took place later between him and God, when God said, you know, if you do well, you know, you'll be happy. But if you're not doing well, then be careful, because sin's crouching at the door and it's about to capture. And I think the key to the mystery of that whole interaction with Cain and his whole problem was found in those words. And I think it has to do with the subject that we're talking about, the mystery of failure of Cain. I think that really what happened with Cain was that he didn't bring his best. And he knew it. I don't know why God seems to just get put in there, because He's invisible. He's not the most, you know, vocal person around. But you can see some people that, I mean, for the approval of a crowd, for the approval of a celebrity, they'll go out of their way to make sure that celebrity or whoever it is in their life that's important to them knows that I've done my best. But God sometimes gets left out of that. One of the passages of Scripture that is so pertinent on this issue, I have often thought about this passage of Scripture as kind of a litmus test. It's kind of a place where you can say, am I doing my best for God? It's found. If you want to turn there, you can turn to Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. But this is the way that this prophet brings out this picture for us that helps us think about this whole idea of celebrating with our best for God. He speaks this way. He says, a son honors his father, a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my respect? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. And there's this the style of Malachi here, this interaction. He asks the question and almost puts the question in the people's mouth, almost like they're saying, well, how have we despised God? What are you talking about? How have we despised God? Or later on, it's, well, how have we robbed God? Or what do you mean, by saying these things to us? And so it's sort of Malachi's style. And they say, well, how have we despised his name? And we do everything right. We go through all the ceremonies, and he says, you are presenting defiled food upon my altar. But you say, well, how have we defiled you? He says, well, the way that the table of the Lord is to be despised. A little bit later on, they say things like, how tiresome it is. Sometimes that's our response when we get done with the normal life of church service and we're going home, we go out to lunch or whatever, we're going, oh, another long, boring sermon. Not around here, huh? And so, but those kinds of things kind of betray our attitude and that whole thing. So God points that out to them. He says, when you bring, verse 8, he says, when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? When you present the lame and the sick, it is not evil? Gary mentioned that earlier. He mentioned the word leftovers. Because I often thought, especially when I first read this, well, who in the world would bring a blind sacrifice? Well, it's like, hey, you're just going to sacrifice it. Let's just get rid of it. Why should I keep this in my flock and bring my best? I might as well bring something that's going to die anyway or something that's just no good to anybody and then offer that. I might as well do that. First missionary story I ever heard in the church when I was in Bible school at Melody Land, I heard that these missionaries in South America had received a package from home. Used tea bags. Yeah. And I just went, who would do that? Who would do that? But try being a pastor in leadership in a church for any length of time, and you'd be surprised how much stuff comes in the door of the church that people just, I don't know where they're thinking. I just don't think they are thinking. And they say, well, somebody at the church could use this. Leftovers. Leftovers. Things that we have no use for, but certainly somebody down there, or they would know what to do with this kind of stuff. And nobody in this room is guilty of that. I know that. So that's not the deal, but we just need to talk about it here. But then he asked this incredible question. Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you, or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? Our best for God. Those of you who are bosses of businesses, you know when your employees are doing their best, and a lot of the attitudes that they present, it's like, well, how do we relate to God and God's work or God's ways like that? It's kind of a litmus test for me, it's like the way I'm behaving, if I'm stumbling in late to meetings and things like that, it's like, would I do that anywhere else? Why do I feel free to do that here? So that's the theme. Malachi is kind of that kind of a litmus test. So I think about it in terms of our best in time. Are we offering our best in time, or are we just throwing God our leftovers with our lives? The first hour of my day, I'm not boasting, it took me a long time to get there. But the first hour of my day is God's. That's my best time, by the way, too. is God's. That first hour of my day, that's when you want to talk to me, or after I get done with that. But that's those. That's the best time of day, and I think it is the best time of day when I get up in the morning and the sun hasn't quite come up yet, you know, and everything is kind of crisp and like new, and it's a new day. I mean, that's my best time of day. I'm not saying that has to be your best time of day, but what is your best time? Does God have that? I'm going to use a famous Gus phrase here, Gus Best phrase. No condemnation, guys. Really, I don't want you to feel guilty. I just want you to think about in terms of, well, how can I grow in this? How can I really live this out? Best time. Let me go back to one other thing. Your time is not your time. That'll help you a lot if you catch that. Your time is God's time. And if you catch that attitude, it'll change your life. You're standing in a line and you think, man, these people, they're taking all this time. I mean, they could do this so much more. And I have so much stuff to do here today. Don't waste my time. Why don't you pause right there and say, God, do you have me here for a reason? Your time is not your time. When you became a Christian, it becomes God's time. And when you catch that attitude, it's like, God, I guess I'm supposed to wait here in this line for some reason, so I'm going to, you know, give this to you. Is there something I'm supposed to be doing here? But our best in time, our best in substance. Like I said, don't give God your leftovers. Give him your best. And however you figure out how to live that out. The tithe was the first 10%. Is it because God needs our money? No. It's because we need to give. There's something that happens to us when we catch that. By the way, what an incredible year this has been. An incredible 2 years, actually. And we had an administrative board meeting last Tuesday. And I realized that when we finished off, as we had to close our doors on December 31st. If we'd have closed our doors without selling our property, but with the money that we had here on December 31st of last year, We'd have been $5,000 in debt. Now, for this church, I mean, that is like incredibly good. That is incredibly good. What a gift God has given from the journey that we've been on this last year. That was a wonderful thing. We'd have closed our doors December 31st. We had enough money to pay off whatever debts we had. We'd have had $5,000. We didn't have yet. And, I mean, certainly we'd like to be in a little better place than that, but, I mean, you know, considering where we were and the way that we've extended ourselves to do some things, that is a miracle. I mean, I was thrilled. When I walked away from that meeting, I thought, man, God, you did good. So our best in substance and our best in service, the way that we do things, and how we go about doing them, whether that be, again, not all our time that we give unto the Lord is here at church. I understand that. But if we are living out that passage of Scripture, we are living before the Lord. It is Him who we serve. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. And so 2013 is a year for us to just continue to think back in terms of giving God our best. And so at the end of this year, I'd like to look back and say, did we indeed? Do I have to look back on this year with shame and feeling like, God, can I look back on this year saying, as far as I can tell, in every circumstance I was in that God put me in, I gave Him my best. I've walked into meetings where there was just a handful of people. We expected a whole lot more people. And I walked into meetings where and there was just a handful of people. And the temptation was, wow, what a waste of time. That's the temptation. But what I determined a long time ago was, even if there's just one person, I'm going to give God my best before that one person. Now, I want to qualify one thing here before I kind of finish up here today. And that's that I didn't say giving God the best. Because, not all of us are the best at what we do. Somebody else might be better. I said giving God our best. And the picture that I thought of, that I want to leave you with, was when my daughter, Melinda, was in junior high school. And she was just starting to play, I think she played the flute. And the music teacher in Paso Robles at that time for public schools were Mr. and Mrs. Perney. Mr. Perney had been the grade school and also the junior high school music teacher for years. He was also deaf. He was deaf. He had two of the biggest hearing aids you'd ever seen. And if you ever tried to talk to him, I mean, my gosh, he couldn't hear you, but he could hear the musical instruments of those kids. And I remember going to this, and they had it at Flamson Auditorium when Flamson Auditorium existed. And it was the recital for the year. And they had all the kids from grammar school, and then the next school. And the grammar school kids were the first ones. And I can remember sitting there and listening to them, trying to play, and these squeaks coming from the clarinets, and all these loud squeaks. And all the parents were sitting there just with big grins on their face, looking at these kids. And what they played sounded like grammar school kids. And then they brought in the next group of kids, and they were a little bit older, and they played. They played a little bit more, but you heard less squeaks. And then, the older kids were doing more. But you know what? Every parent in that place was pretty proud of their kid. You see, God sees you like nobody else. Just offer Him your best. At whatever stage you're in, offer Him your best. He doesn't compare you with somebody else. He just wants to know, are you doing your best? So here we are, 2013. Let's celebrate with our best for God. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, I don't understand why I have to live through so much of life before I finally start kind of getting a few things. And I know that I'm in a room full of people where there are a lot of people that feel that way. That if I'd have known or been where I am today, years ago, things would have been a whole lot better. I don't know why we have to do that, Lord. But whatever we do, I offer to you, to this church, and through this church, we offer our best. Lord, as we set out on the adventure of 2013, we have no idea what circumstances are going to come our way. Some we can plan and prepare for, but whatever comes, whether it be through war, through weather, through circumstances of take place in this world, or circumstances that take place in our families or our lives, we can't control those circumstances, but Lord, we know that we can choose how to respond to them. And on this day, we commit ourselves to remembering and responding with our best. Lord, hear the prayers of your people. Hear their hearts. And lead us together. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.